I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you? And the king will answer them, Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me. Then he will say to those at his left hand, You that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not welcome me. Naked and you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you? Then he will answer them, Truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. The Gospel of the Lord. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for this new year that lies before us. Even though our calendars are always full and we often feel overwhelmed, we pray that you teach us how to possess the serenity and peace of mind that we desire. Lead us to that place of inner refreshment where we can rely and rest at ease in you. Amen. You heard it earlier. Happy New Year. I trust that you had a wonderful and blessed Christmas. My prayer for you for 2012 is that it will be full of blessings and opportunities. As you can tell by the title of my sermon and the reading from Ecclesiastes, it's about time. It's about time we recognize the importance of the time we are given. I read somewhere that time is the greatest gift of all and that it is our most precious resource. It is perishable and irreplaceable. God, in His grace, has given us all the same amount, 24 hours per day. The quality, joy, and impact of our lives are directly related to how wisely we use the time we have. Now, that doesn't mean we have to hurry or hustle through life. And at this point, I may be preaching to some of you who may be card-carrying members of TOCA. That's T-O-C-A. It's an acronym. It stands for Type A Obsessive Compulsive Association. Many TOCA members are stressed out, overcommitted, and spread entirely too thinly. Now, do you wonder if you're a member of TOCA? You may be and don't even know it. Here's some clues. If the traffic light turns green and the driver up front waits as long as 3 seconds to move, a TOCA member blows the horn. TOCA members like to do at least two things at one time, three if at all possible. A TOCA member's two worst nightmares are a terrorist attack and a 3-mile backup on Route 30 East. A TOCA member's favorite inventions are email, voicemail, texting, and messages of all sorts that can be sent and received 24 hours a day. As TOCA members, someone passes you on the right at a speed limit that's below what you want to be, you might say, find yourself saying, come on, Granny or Grandpa, drive it or park it. And finally, TOCA members have never officially organized because they're just too busy. You can be glad that we have a sanctuary in the back, or a clock in the back of our sanctuary, because the person up here behind the pulpit needs to always know what time it is and preach accordingly. In some places around the world, people travel long distances to get to church, third world countries especially, many of them starting out before sunup. And after such a long, arduous journey, they want a robust, lengthy sermon. Anything less than an hour to an hour and a half, everybody feels cheated. I guess that's how it used to be here at Trinity, from what I read back in the Dark Ages in the 1700s, early 1800s. I recall the story about a preacher who was greatly regarded for always finishing his services on the dot of 12 noon every day. What just happened one day, the improbable happened. He preached so long that the service didn't end until 12:30. On the way out, one of his parishioners accosted him and said, "Preacher, what is wrong with you today? You went way over. I have to get home for the opening kickoff for the NFL. The preacher answered, "You know, I apologize. For years, I have my own method of keeping time. I put a hard mint candy in my mouth when I get up to preach. And usually by the time that dissolves, a sufficient time has gone by and I'm finished." He said, "Today it didn't happen, and halfway through the sermon, I realized I was sucking on a button." Preachers are not the only ones who have to keep track of time. We all do. There are deadlines and schedules to meet. Calendars and clocks have become our masters in modern society. We are a people of BlackBerries, smartphones, and all manner of electronic devices. And we rely on them, don't we, to keep time and to keep our lives orderly. In his book, Time Wars, Jeremy Rifkin writes, "Just as the small is beautiful idea challenged the myth that bigger is better, the new ecological time vision, slow is humane, challenges the prevailing view that increased speed and efficiency automatically means progress." Rifkin is a celebrated economist and author of 19 books dealing with the impact of scientific and technological changes that affect society in the workplace and in everyday life. He also writes that the most distinguishing feature of any society is its use of time. And for a culture that is intent on saving time, we find so little time left for ourselves and each other. We say, "Just a minute, please." But a minute cannot be held, because it's like a vapor. Here today, and it's gone in a flash. Half our life is spent trying to find something to do with the time we have rushed through life trying to save. In a 1972 hit song, Jim Croce tried to suggest saving time in a bottle would be a good thing. We know we can't save time in a bottle or in any other way. Many people have asked themselves, where does all the time go? Where has it all gone? I hear that a lot as I make the rounds and visit those who are homebound, most of whom are 80 plus in years. They all reminisce about where has all the time gone. But we wonder why there doesn't seem to be enough hours in the day. I thought I would take a moment when I was preparing this sermon to find out where perhaps this problem lies and what we can find out. So I read from a recent obscure news release from the FBI. Perhaps you saw it. After a 3-year investigation by the Special Fraud Unit of the Criminal Investigation Division, that's a mouthful, it looks like an answer may have been discovered for the disappearance of time. The FBI indicates in their news release, "We found and apprehended a criminal gang of procrastinators stealing time from everybody." Special Agent Tim Evans said, "They have been storing it in huge clocks in a vault deep under the Potomac River." Thus far, the gang has refused to reveal why they have been stealing and storing the time. Theories abound, from time travel to eternal youth. Police have called upon Professor Stephen Hawking, the British theoretical physicist who writes about space and time. He's a brain. He's way beyond everybody. For some kind of an explanation, Hawking has several theories. Unfortunately, none of them seem applicable to this particular case. For example, he suggested that the theft of time could have something to do with the black hole and radiation in outer space, but the FBI said they don't think so. The news release goes on. "Now that the gang has been captured, police are hopeful that there may be enough time to do the things that need to be done." Agent Evans says, "We are looking for ideas on how to use this vast reservoir of time that we have discovered. Initially, we feel that we can improve the efficiency of the railroads and the airlines by having more trains and planes on time. Or perhaps even ease traffic congestion by shrinking drive time to a quarter rush hour. It was generally agreed that no more time should be allocated for political campaigning." Thank you, Lord. Evans warns in his final sentence that procrastination is the thief of time, and more procrastination gangs might still be out there. So be on the look and be vigilant. If you suspect that everyday tasks are taking too long, please contact your local police or the FBI. He said, "We never prosecute anyone for wasting our time." Now it's about time we return to reality. There was an ancient teacher and preacher of wisdom who was called Koheleth in Hebrew. The name in Greek translates Ecclesiastes, which gives name to our first reading today. This wise person, some people think it was Solomon, it's not clear that it was, but anyway, this wise person understood time differently from the way it is understood by us today. In the Greek language, there are two words for time. There is chronos, K-R-O-N-O-S, and there is kairos, K-A-I-R-O-S. Chronos is the word for ordinary clock time, from which we get the words, the English words, chronometer and chronology. Chronos is linear time, with a beginning and an end. It's measured in nanoseconds. Seconds, minutes, hours, and years. It's what we live with on a daily basis. Kairos, on the other hand, is God's time, a special moment in time when God's will and purpose are carried out, especially in reference to the second coming of Christ. Now, the writer of Ecclesiastes was more of a realist than a cynic. And he was a practical theologian who refused to look at life through rose-colored glasses. Today's reading from Ecclesiastes, if you were counting, cataloged 28 various times and seasons of life, arranged in a sharp contrast to one another, and yet each an undeniable part of human existence. His list rings so true that one day we are born into this world, then just as inevitably our time in this world comes to an end. The universe unfolds according to its inner logic and a set of seasons. Only God knows why existence is set up the way it is. The unexpected events in our lives are a reminder that we are not in control. We may lose a loved one tomorrow. We may die tomorrow. The world may end tomorrow. Only God is in control. I believe it is safe to say that there's rarely enough of Chronos time. And we often feel stressed out as we race to complete our daily activities. While Chronos time is important, the time I highly recommend is Kairos time. Kairos time flows gently, allowing us to be in a moment with God. It is a spiritual time, a time of fulfillment when God acts. It is more qualitative than quantitative. Kairos time occurs when we place God in the midst of our daily living, when we are aware of God's loving touch. This might occur in meditation, reading a book, or engaging in activities personally meaningful to all of us. It could be when you say goodbye to a loved one or make a particularly difficult decision. With Kairos time, one is wholly absorbed in the moment, unhurried, and aware, rather unaware of passing time. Think of Kairos time as sacred time. Now, there's a lot more I could say about time today, but there simply is not enough time to do so. Today, as we prepare for communion, let us thank God for the time He has given us and for what He has done in our lives and for what He will do for us during this new year. How can we all use our time to better serve Him this year? For there is a time and a season for everything and every activity under heaven. God bless. Happy New Year. Amen.